raining very heavily that morning, and there were not many people about, and I made it to Hokitika without seeing anyone I knew. I entered the gridiron by the rear door and ascended the servants' staircase at the back. I waited until Anna went down to luncheon, and then I slipped into her room and found the resin and all her apparatus in her drawer. Then I got trapped. Someone struck up a conversation in the hallway just outside the door, and I couldn't leave. And then Anna came back from lunch, and I heard her coming, and I panicked again, so I hid behind the drapes.
The drapes?
Yes, said Staines. That's where I was hiding when I took the bullet from Anna's gun.
Broome's face was growing red.
How long did you remain hidden behind the drapes?
Hours, said Staines. If I were to guess, I'd say from about 12 until about 3, but that is an estimation.
Did Miss Wetherill know that you were in her room on that day?
No.
What about Mr. Gascoigne or Mr. Pritchard?
No, said Staines again. I kept very quiet and stood very still. I'm certain that none of them knew that I was there.
Fellows was whispering intently in Harrington's ear.
What happened when you were shot? Said Broome.
I kept quiet, said Staines again.
You kept quiet?
Yes.
Mr. Staines,
said Broome, in a voice that pretended to scold him.
Do you mean to tell this courtroom that you were shot, quite without warning and at a very close range, and you did not cry out or move or make any noise at all that might have alerted any one of the 3 witnesses to your presence?
Yes, said Staines.
How on earth did you not cry out?
I didn't want to give up the resin, said Staines.
Broome studied him. In the ensuing pause, Harrington passed him a piece of paper, which Broome scanned briefly, then looked up and said,
Do you think it possible, Mr. Staines, that Miss Wetherill might have known that you were present upon the afternoon of the 27th of January, and that she might have fired her pistol deliberately in the direction of the drapes with the express purpose of causing you harm?
No, said Staines, I do not think it possible.
The courtroom had become very still.
Why not?
Because I trust her, said Staines.
I am asking if you think it possible, said Broome, not if you think it probable.
I understand the question. My answer is unchanged.
What induced you to place your trust in Miss Wetherill?
Trust cannot be induced, he burst out. It can only be given, and given freely. How am I possibly to answer that?
I will simplify my question, the lawyer said. Why do you trust Miss Wetherill?
I trust her because I love her, said Staines.
And how did you come to love her?
By trusting her, of course.
You make a circular defence.
Yes, the boy cried, because I must. True feeling is always circular, either circular or paradoxical, simply because its cause and its expression are 2 halves of the very same thing. Love cannot be reduced to a catalogue of reasons why, and a catalogue of reasons cannot be put together into love. Any man who disagrees with me has never been in love. Not truly.
A perfect silence followed this remark. From the far corner of the courtroom there came a low whistle, and in response to it, smothered laughter. Broome was plainly irritated.
You will forgive me for remarking, Mr. Staines, that it is rather unusual to steal opiates from the person one professes to love.
I know it's very bad, Staines said. I'm very ashamed of what I did.
Can anyone confirm your movements over the past 2 months?
Ah, Sook can vouch for me.
Mr. Sook is deceased. Anyone else?
Staines thought for a moment, and then shook his head.
I can't think of anybody else.
I have no further questions, said Broome curtly. Thank you, Mr. Justice.
Your witness, Mr. Moody,
said the Justice. Moody thanked him also. He spent a moment putting his notes in order and waiting for the whispering in the room to subside before he said,
You have testified that your opinion of Mr. Carver is a poor one, Mr. Staines.
What caused this poor opinion?
He assaulted Anna, said Staines. He beat her in cold blood, and she was carrying a child. The child was killed.
The courtroom was quiet at once.
When did this assault take place? Said Moody.
On the afternoon of the 11th of October last year.
The 11th of October, Moody echoed. Did you bear witness to this assault?
No, I did not.
How did you learn of its occurrence?
From Mr. Lerventhal, later that afternoon. He was the one who found her in the road, all battered and bloody. He can vouch for her condition when he found her.
What was your business with Mr. Lerventhal that afternoon?
An unrelated matter, said Staines. I called on him because I wanted to put a notice in the paper.
Regarding?
The purchase of a crate of Long Toms.
When you heard the news that Miss Wetherill had been assaulted, said Moody, were you surprised?
No, said Staines. I already knew Carver was a beast, and already I regretted our association 10 times over. He'd offered to be my sponsor when I first arrived in Dunedin. That was how I met him, you see, when I was just off the boat that very day. I didn't suspect anything foul. I was very green. We shook hands in good faith, and that was that. But it wasn't long before I started hearing things about him. And about Mrs. Carver, too. They work as a team, of course. When I heard what they did to Mr. Wells, I was horrified. I've gone into business with a perfect swindler, I thought.
The boy was getting ahead of himself. Moody coughed to remind him of the narrative.